الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. This is Satay Janaza. I was present at the Janaza of Marhum, and it gave me great happiness that it was one of the first Janazas, that when I came up to the family of the Marhum, I never have to give them any word of tasalli. Their faces gave me tasalli. It made me so happy to see that at the time of separating from your most beloved, you could see a smile on the family. May Allah make it that his passing away becomes an inspiration, not only to me and to you. One reason why I'm taping this is, may Allah make it that whoever hears it after this, it becomes an isale sawab for him. That our minds change to a certain extent. We don't know the future, but we're always saying we're waiting for the era of the Mahdi. And every now and then we're saying we think we're coming closer, and things are changing so fast. But when we speak about coming towards the end, you must understand it also means a lot of death, a lot of janazas. Now those people who had seen something called jihad in the past, they never have to ever get a bayan like this. Because when there was jihad in the world, there was no time for 5 days to go, except that another janaza was taking place. So the army went out today, someone passed away. When the mujahideen come back, they are happy we won the battle, or we lost the battle. The issue about who passed away in the battle could never be a major issue. It was quickly go for the burial, and tomorrow another battle is taking place. The people of this house who yesterday they were being hugged, 2 days later they have to hug somebody else. If ever there had to be something called depression, we went to one house, the person said the young boys of this house are not talking. Because in this last month they saw so many people of their family pass away. It hurt us to understand that when that call is made for jihad, what are we thinking is going to happen? Day it is going to be. But at that day, may Allah make it, and perhaps Allah got his own system. COVID came for whatever reasons it comes. But whoever studied the history of Islam will know before Allah made something big happen, before that something else had to happen. Perhaps this is that something else for our people. That until today, because we never see death, because of COVID, there were a few times we had to speak, but not like how it's today. May Allah make this also. Marhum brought like the masajid into the houses. But a few places we had to speak, it made us so amazed, so shocked, that the people came after that and said to us, we never knew that after death, there's another life. Forget what the other life is, just the point, they never knew there's another life. It means so far we got caught in this world, that when we went to leave the person by the grave, we started thinking this is the end. Whereas this is the beginning. That life of the grave is the beginning of all pleasure. So a few things we have mentioned in certain houses, and I will repeat that there. And may Allah makes it that whoever hears it after, the sawab of that person, if he changes his life, goes to marhum. It goes to my father-in-law. It goes to my friends who have passed away in this COVID. It goes to the marhums of COVID. It goes to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number one, which I'm mentioning a lot in the houses, there's a sentence which is called, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish means this. Let's say you have twins, either two girls or two boys. Twins are those that if one feels pain, the other definitely has the pain. And especially if they live with each other for about 30, 40, 50 years, then if the separation has to take place, it's not easy. They have become like glue. So let us say A, Ahmed comes to Muhammad. And Ahmed is now sad. Muhammad immediately picks up, my brother, what's wrong? So Ahmed says that I got A. I got a chance. Someone contacted me and they said that there is a certain country which we are giving you the opportunity now to move over to. It is a country in which there is no protest. It's a country in which there is no fear. There is no worry of someone breaking in. It is a country when you reach the age of 60, 65, 70, you're not going to ever have the fear again that if I get sick, will I have to go back to hospital? It is a country where you will never have to worry about if the phone is ringing, someone maybe passed away. It is a country where every day gets one better than the last day. Old people become younger. The weak become stronger. Your food is brought to you. You will never have to go look for food. It is a country where you will never be tested. No trials, no difficulty, no poverty, no worry. As he's saying, the seer Muhammad will say to Ahmed, then what are you doing here? You got such a chance. So Ahmed will say that only one thing is holding me back. That how am I going to separate from you? Meaning, will you manage without me? If marhum had to be given a choice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every Nabi is given this choice before he passes away. And he said, every believer is told after he passes away. Do you want to go back? Look at your family. The answer of the believer is to a world of poverty, sickness, worry, concern, never. So let's put it in our words. If they have to say to marhum, you want to go back to your family, then his answer will be like this, that I'm going to such a world, I just want to know if my family are happy that I'm going. Because when Ahmed is asking Muhammad, can I go? It's not he don't want to go. He wants to go. He just wants Muhammad to say, I'm happy you go. So then when he will say to Muhammad, but how will you manage? So what will Muhammad say? He will say, the demand of love is, I cannot be selfish. If I know you are going to a world which is much better, how can I pull you back? But he can say this to him, that when you go over there, can't you make arrangements that I can also come? When the one goes there, that's it. When we say, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ means that I've already been told, start making my preparations. So the first thing is, whenever someone in our family, older or younger, brother or sister, husband or wife has to leave us, let us not be selfish. And say, after you got the chance to go out, it's not right for me to pull you back. Law number two of don't be selfish. When a person reaches that world, which is a top world, which is the beginning of paradise, the introduction to Jannah. As soon as you reach there, you will get your bed of Jannah, you will get your window of Jannah, you will get the air of Jannah. You will get from the taste of the fruits of Jannah. There will be times when the soul of the marhum comes into the form of a bird. It flies in Jannah, perches under the arsh, the throne of Allah. This is called excursion after excursion after excursion, ecstasy after ecstasy after ecstasy. In that world, when Sahabi radiallahu anhu passed away in the battle, he was made to stand in front of Almighty Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said every barrier was lifted. Almighty Allah asked him directly, what do you want? He said, I would like the opportunity to go back to inform my family that I am okay. He wasn't given that, but the message that was sent to the world, فَرِقِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ, They are saying to you, we're so happy. But what it makes us understand is when they reach there, and as soon as they start enjoying what they're enjoying, their first thought goes now to the family. Because if I have to go for Umrah or Hajj, then one thing will make me calm when I'm in that land, that my family that I left behind are also okay. If someone has to say to me, your son is missing you too much, it will not make me happy, it will make me a little bit concerned. And every new person I meet, I'll ask, how's he, until someone says, okay. So the second message of don't be selfish is when our marhum and marhumas are reaching that garden of paradise, we should not be selfish to say that because I'm missing them so much, I'm going to spoil their happiness. In love, this world got no happiness. So whether we sad here or happy, this world got no happiness. But they are in a world where there's only happiness. If one thing has to spoil their happiness, it is my not being happy. My not being happy, for which reason I say to friends, you want to cry, Lord. But in front of people, smile. Because the next person who passes away from the town, the marhum will ask, how's my family? And we want him to say, I found them happy. Just that message, I found them happy, will make them so happy. Don't be selfish. That's a world that we're waiting for. They already got it. And the third of don't be selfish is on what we will end now. There's a few incidents I will read to you. A while ago, my brother Maulana Imran prepared 3 books. At that time, it was someone, I don't know if COVID had started already, but it just came in his mind, that to pray what is called condolence to the bereaved. And he never knew that there'll be so many janazas after that. So he prepared one that if your father passes away, and one was prepared, I think, if your like spouse, and one was prepared if your child. So today I was just reading, and I made a note of a few incidents. I will just read these incidents, and then we will bring it to an end. May Allah make it that this is an inspiration to all of us. Point number one, I said, let us not be selfish. We're not going to hold them back. Even if my own child, and as I mentioned at the beginning, this is not for this family that I'm talking. Because this family, when I saw them at the janaza, they don't need any bayan. I saw a family who everyone was happy. As soon as I saw it, I said, this is the janaza of a martyr. This is the house of a martyr. Everyone happy. May Allah make it all our janazas become like this. That when the person has to come and visit us, he doesn't have to worry, I don't know what I'm going to say. He doesn't have to worry. He knows as soon as I enter, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu's khadim, he reached a very old age. Then he lost his body ability. He couldn't do much. He couldn't hear well. He was blind. Someone who was new in that area came up across him, met him, never knew who he was. So he said to the person that my son is not coming. Can you just go find out where's my son? So he went out, he inquired. So they said that he had gone out to a certain, so this man said, I'll go look for him. He came there and he found that some wild animals had fallen on this boy, jumped on this boy. He found him in like, clothing was torn, there was blood. He inquired, he showed the clothing, they said, we saw this boy going in that direction. Now he never knew how to go back to the tent to say to a man who got nothing left in his life except his son. To make his wuzu was his son. To bring his food was his son. Nothing left. So he went wondering, how will I go? As he was outside the tent, the man inside, he understood that there is. So he called out his son's name. And this person had to say, no, he never knew how to say it. He could only say, inna lillah. And then he said, I found the clothing of your son. As soon as this individual, the Tabi'i rahimullah, heard that his son had passed away, this was his hope of life. What a sentence he said, which may Allah make it mine and your tongue. He said, I thank Allah that he did not allow my child to reach that age where he would disobey him. I thank Allah that he did not allow my child to reach such an age that he would fall in his disobedience. Will you ever come to a janazah, may Allah make it that we can come. When we enter the house and the person says, I thank Allah, he allowed my son to pass away with iman. I thank Allah, my husband passed away with iman. We saw it. I thank Allah, my wife passed away with iman. That alhamdulillah to come on the tongue. So the few incidents very fast we will go with. The first point was, don't be selfish. We're not holding anyone back. Point number two, don't be selfish, is don't spoil his happiness. Point number three of don't be selfish is what we will go through now. That after 2 or 3 months, this world moves so fast that even if we cry in tears of blood today, in 3 months' time it will all dry up. And after 4 months, when you ask a person, he will be shocked that I even forgot my beloved. So we are going to forget our beloveds very fast. But we cannot be selfish in this manner. That because I'm remembering to them today because I am missing them. It is not fair when I stop missing them that I forget them. Don't be selfish. As long as I'm missing them, I'm going to remember them. That's me then. I'm going to soon stop missing them. At that time, I cannot forget them. So I will just read to you a few. May Allah put it in my heart and your heart. That if someone beloved in our family passes away, during the difficult days, we already set one amal. Example, we say every day after Zohar, 5 minutes. That 5 minutes is reserved for this beloved of my family. Till the day I die, that 5 minutes is his. I will give it to him till the day I die. In that 5 minutes, whether it will be Qul Huwallahu Ahad 10 times, whether it will be Durood Sharif, whether it will be one verse of Quran, whether it will be one dua, but till the day I die. How you will understand the importance of this is this few incidents I will now read. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Almighty Allah raises the status of some of the pious in paradise. The person asks, O Allah, from where have I been granted this? It will be said, by virtue of your son making dua of forgiveness for you. Meaning he just said, Allah forgive my father. Allah forgive my father can be said once for the next 3 months. And it can be said once for the day until I die. Every time you will say it, again you will say, where is this coming? Again it will be said, your son thought of you. Another narration states, on the day of judgment, some people will possess rewards equivalent to mountains. They will ask, from where has all this come? It will be said, by virtue of your son seeking forgiveness for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when anyone amongst you gives charity, voluntary charity, then let him give on behalf of his parents. They will receive its reward without any decrease of reward for the one giving the charity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after being obedient to one's parents during their lifetime, another method of being obedient after their demise is, when performing salah, to perform salah on their behalf, meaning to send the rewards to them. When fasting, to fast on their behalf, to send the rewards. When giving charity, to give on their behalf, meaning when you will do it, if you can't do it the whole day, let it not happen that the whole day goes and you never do it once. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimullah, reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever will recite Surah Ikhlas 10 times, Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, he will receive a palace in Jannah in return. Whoever will recite it 20 times will receive 2 palaces therein. Whoever will recite it 30 times will get 3 palaces in Jannah. Umar radiallahu anhu, hearing this, said, by Allah, in that case we will start building lots of palaces. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Almighty Allah has much more than you can ever earn. Meaning there's a lot of palaces. You have love for your beloved. How in this house, how he gets happy. You put up the house easily with Qul Huwallahu Ahad 10 times. Every day you can build another palace. Build one for you, build one for your beloved. Abu Bakr ibn al-Atrush narrates, a man would visit his mother's grave every Friday and recite Surah Yasin. I want you to listen to this one. Marhum is such a person that inshallah with him entering that graveyard, may Allah make it that his entering is a source of maghfirat for many around also. He would visit his mother's grave every Friday and recite Surah Yasin. One day he came, recited Surah Yasin and said, Allah, you have made such a great reward for the surah. So will you distribute it amongst the inhabitants of this entire graveyard? And I asked the family of this marhum, when y'all will go to the graveyard, and when y'all will read, which I know y'all will read, then remember in that graveyard, a lot of other people are also there. He said, Allah, you put so much of reward in Surah Yasin, will you distribute it amongst the inhabitants of this graveyard? The next Friday, a woman came to him and asked, are you so and so? He said, yes. She said, my daughter passed away recently. I saw her in a dream sitting at the edge of the grave. I asked her, why are you outside? She said, a man by this name visited his mother's grave. He recited Surah Yasin and passed the reward to all of us. The pleasure of that recital has reached us. She said, because of his reading for his mother, we all got forgiven. We all got forgiven. A pious lady known as Bahita was very regular in her salah. At the time of her death, she raised her head towards the heavens and said, O the one who is my only treasure and provider, I make dua that you do not disgrace me at the time of death, and you do not let me see any difficulty in the grave. What was the dua? I must not see any difficulty in the grave. How the dua got accepted? They said, after her death, her son would visit her grave every Friday and recite the Quran. He would pass the sawab to his mother and to all those buried in the graveyard. One day he saw his mother in a dream and he asked, how are you? She replied, death is not easy. But by the grace of Allah, I was very comfortable with death. I am so comfortable in my grave with a bed of sweet basil, silken cushions. I will remain in luxury till Qiyamah. He asked her, can I help you in any way, mommy? I would say, can I do anything? She said, do not ever stop coming to visit me on Friday and reciting the Quran. As soon as you come, all the people buried in this graveyard come to me and they tell me that your son has come. Your visit to the grave is not only a source of happiness for me, it brings happiness to the entire graveyard. Because when he would go, he would say and send it to all. You know how honored that mother must be. That father, your son is benefiting me. The boy said he carried on visiting the graveyard every Friday. One day he saw in a dream that a very big gathering of men and women came to him. He asked them, who are they? They replied that we are the people of such and such graveyards. We have come to thank you for your Friday visits. Your du'as for forgiveness pleases us so much. And they said to him, please do not ever stop coming to visit your father on a Friday, your mother on a Friday. There are two more incidents. May Allah make it already. I make the intention, you all make the intention. When that marhum goes, that graveyard visit starts. And may Allah make it that don't be selfish, let it continue till death. A real life story. A Saudi Arabian man had secretly married a Philippine woman. When he fell sick, he gathered his children to explain his will. He told his eldest son, "I have secretly married. When I die, I want you to take care of this woman. And you also have to give her the portion of her inheritance." He gave him the address. After a few days, the man passed away. His son went to the judge and told him everything in detail. The judge halted the court proceedings and ordered him to present the woman thereto. The son traveled to Philippines and finally reached the address his father had given him. The woman who was his late father's wife figured out who he was at the first glance. She told him that she was the same woman he was looking for. She already knew her husband had passed away. He explained to her the details that she has to come to Saudi Arabia. He took his stepmother straight to the judge. The judge ruled that she was entitled to 8 million riyals. 8 million riyals, you say, like she got a jackpot. The judge also told the son to take her to perform Umrah and then take her back to Philippines. He did exactly as he was instructed. 4 years later, the boy goes back to Philippines to meet his stepmother, to find out how she is doing. When he reaches there, he is shocked. He asks her, why is she still living in this old house? After 8 million, the first thing you do is put up a new house. After getting so much of money, you never change your house. She held his hand and took him to a place where a large institute was formed. There was an orphanage there, an institute for memorizing the Quran. She said to the son, look above at the board, what's written? The boy burst out crying on seeing that the name of his father was written on that board. His mother, stepmother said to him, I have donated the money I got from the inheritance of your father to this institute. My wish is that he keeps getting the reward through this institute. There's no need for me to change. I lived my life like this. This is true love. She could have also built a bigger, more beautiful house with that money. She realized the value of her love for her husband and understood that a big, beautiful house in this world is only temporary. This Islamic institute will benefit her and her husband in the Akhirah. This is true love. When the son came back from Philippines, he told his fellow brothers about it. They stayed up all night thinking that what she did and what we did. They pooled together their money and they donated it the next morning to the organization which their stepmother had built on their father's name. This is a family who we already know will have done and have done lots. May Allah make it its inspiration for all of us. If that inheritance comes, don't be selfish. We are all living a life where we can't eat anymore. Any extra money is only going to bring more sugar in front of us. More sugar is only going to bring another sickness. More stomach. That stomach, then the next thing I have to do, go back to the gym. Again, I have to start losing weight. Allah has given us so much that you ask if anything more comes now, what to do with it? May Allah make it an inspiration that how we are living in luxury, we already got it all. Let it never happen that wealth comes to us and we find a need to lift our level of living. We are already in the heavens. There's nothing left for us to enjoy. But there's another world which many of us have it barren. While we are alive also, let's start building. And let us not be selfish. For those that we really, really love, let us also put up our institutes.
And the final incident that he mentions, or that I found interesting,
Fadl ibn Muwaffaq Rahimullah is the cousin of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Rahimullah. This is a very pious family. He says, when my father passed away, I was overcome with grief. I used to visit his grave every day. Then I stopped visiting for a period of time as long as Allah willed. After some time I visited him one day. While sitting at the graveyard, my eyes closed and I fell asleep. I saw in a dream, as if my father's grave had opened, he was sitting up, covered in his coffin. He had the aura of a deceased person around. I was shocked when I saw him. He said, my son, what kept you away from visiting me for so long? I said, my father, did you know when I used to come? He replied, every single time you come, I know of it. When you would come, I used to be overjoyed. The graves around me would also rejoice because of your du'as. He says, after that day, I made it a point to visit him frequently. Don't be selfish, as we will have a lot of marhums and marhumas around us. We can't hold them back. That is not the demand of love. Rather, the demand is, if you see them going, then to say, I will make sabr, you go. Because you got a da'wah to a world which as soon as you enter, the enjoyments never stop. This world hasn't got that. Don't be selfish. Number two is, once they have gone into that world of enjoyment, let my pain not spoil their happiness. Let my pain not spoil their happiness. If I have to cry, I will cry with one sentence, that Allah, I am very happy with your decision. Then I will say, is this not rida bil qada, being happy with you, Allah? And if it is, Allah, then give the sawab also to my marhum. All this. Hazrat Madani rahimullah, one female, her child passed away, so she wrote to him, she couldn't take the pain. But he explained to her the crux is, that if you're going to cry, tears can come out with blood also, but it is not going to water the gardens of paradise. So you will cry, which will make your volcanoes down, but it will not do anything for your beloved. He said, the other way is, remember the deceased in such a manner that will benefit you also and will benefit Lord there. And he said, how? When you're burning with pain, at night when everyone goes away, yesterday I went to one house, the uncle said to me, I got no children. And now my wife has passed away, and what a death she had. 15 minutes before the Jummah Adhan, she just vomited. She herself cleaned her vomit. Herself cleaned it. She went to the door. She fell. They put her on the sofa. They're trying to turn her this way to get air. She's turning in the other way so she can face Qibla. They're trying to bring her back this way. She's turning that way. Because Qibla was in that direction. So I asked him how long the whole thing took. It took about 15, 20, 25 minutes. Before the Jummah Adhan, immediately after, she made the Jummah food also. The food was ready. Maybe the same day they ate. She even said, we're coming to this house to eat. What a death. But he said to me that now I got no children. So tonight when everyone goes, I'm going to be alone. So at that time I told him that I want you to remember or take out the pain in such a manner that when everyone leaves and you're alone, no problem. But instead of crying, instead of just crying because the cheer won't reach them, I said, put a Quran in front, put munajat-e maqbool, du'as on the side, a durood kitab. And I said, now take out your pain. I said, when there was no pain, I could read half a juz of Quran. Can pain now let me read 5 juz of Quran? Do I have so much pain? Because as I start taking out that pain, somebody else's Jannah is just going higher and higher. If the pain has to last for 2 years, I said to him, after 2 years there'll be no more pain. But after 2 years you will never manage to read so much Quran again. After 2 years you will never be so close to the Arsh of Allah. While you're in pain, whatever dua you make for yourself and for her, I said to him, it is being heard by Allah like anything. comes in the narration, Allah says to the angel, I took away the beloved of my servants. I want you to listen to what he's saying. That I want you to listen. I said to him and I'll say it to all of you all. When I go to the houses, the people then say to me, make dua. I say to them, how close you all are to Allah, I cannot be so close. Allah has told the angels to come and listen to you. If you make dua, whatever you make is going to happen. While you're in pain, take out your pain in such a manner that it benefits you and it benefits them. Three messages was, don't be selfish, we don't hold back. Don't be selfish, my pain must not spoil the happiness. Don't be selfish, is let it not be only for 1 month or 1 year. After today, I must continue benefiting my beloved till the day I die. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make it inspirational for me, make it inspirational for you. Because of what was said, whoever starts reading something for their marhum, who they forgot about for years, may Allah make all that sawab also go to marhum. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.